So let me say, happy Easter to all of you. It's great to have you here. You don't know this, but we have quite a number of people in the overflow on the other end of the building. And so would you just help me welcome them by way of video? They're following us here. Just thank them for being in the overflow over there. We also want to wish Northmont a happy Easter. We're Northmont. We're glad that you're there. Hope you're having a great Easter celebration up there. We're glad that you could join us here today. You know, when you look at this here, this is the cross. And when you look at the cross is the iconic symbol for what God did for us. We wear the cross around our necks and chains. We have it on top of buildings. We have it inside of our churches. You may have them in your homes. We may have them in our offices. I mean, it literally is, when you look at the cross, it is the iconic symbol of the fact that God loved us enough that he would send his one and only son to do what you can't do for yourself or what I can't do. And that is to die to pay the penalty for all the wrong in our lives. But you know, the cross is only half the story, right? That's why Easter is so important, because the empty tomb is actually the other half of the story, and that story needs to be told. Because of the empty tomb, Jesus is God. Because of the empty tomb, Jesus conquered death. Because of the empty tomb, Jesus conquered sin in our lives. Because of the empty tomb, it is the thing that's connected to everything that we believe. Our faith is connected to Easter, the empty tomb. Your faith, my faith, our future, our freedom, it's all connected to Easter. That's why here at Fairhaven, if you are a guest, we pull out all the stops for Easter. We celebrate in the biggest way, because Easter is the biggest day of our lives. Everything that we believe is connected to this one day. In fact, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, catch this, is available to you and to me today. That's amazing. Now, the reality is, you don't have to believe me, because here at Fairhaven, we believe that Jesus actually walked away from the tomb. But you don't have to believe me. You can actually pick up your Bible and you can go to the New Testament. And the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they actually write it down for us. They tell us about it. Matthew actually writes about it. He's a tax collector. It's the first book in the New Testament. And he writes about it. Tax collectors were hated. And he writes that Jesus walked away from the tomb. And he talks about how Jesus ascended into heaven. The next one, Matthew, Mark. Mark was a Greek. Mark actually traveled with Peter. And so he talked to Peter and knew a lot of things. And Mark wrote that Jesus walked away from the tomb. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke was a physician. He was a doctor, and he wanted to make sure he got all the facts straight. And so it says actually in Luke chapter 1 that he did a careful study. He did a careful interview of all the people that were eyewitnesses, and he wrote it all down so that you and I could make sure that we got the story right, so that decades and decades and thousands of years later, you and I could hear this story about the empty tomb. And if you don't believe me, that's fine. You can read it right in the Bible from key witnesses, eyewitnesses that actually saw it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then you got John, right? John is the one that was the first one to the tomb. So when you read John chapter 20, it says that early in the morning, he outran Peter. He ran to the tomb and he looked inside the tomb. And it says that he actually looked inside the tomb and saw the folded linen as if Jesus had never been there. We could go on. Peter wrote several letters. And what Peter wrote is that Jesus was resurrected. What we know from history is that Peter died by the hands of Nero, and he didn't want to die on a cross and be crucified. And so what he did is he had him crucify them upside down, because he didn't want to be crucified like Jesus. And so they crucified him upside down. Catch this, not for what he believed, but because of what he said. He said that Jesus was alive, that the tomb was empty. Well, then we could go to James. I mean, you know who James is, right? I mean, James is the brother of Jesus. And James became a Christ follower. James began to proclaim that Jesus walked away from the grave. James began to say that his brother Jesus was the Messiah after the resurrection. And of course it would be after the resurrection, because the question is, what would your brother have to do in order to prove to you that he is the Son of God? I've got two brothers. It would take a resurrection for them, for me to believe it, right? And James writes it down and says, yeah, he came alive and he was an elder in the church and leading a church. And then you have Paul. I mean, Paul, the Apostle Paul, the terrorist Paul. I mean, he was the one that actually were persecuting people. If you believed in Jesus, he was after you. He was the bully. I mean, he was chasing after you. And then one day, everything changed in his life where he got introduced to who Jesus was, and it radically changed his life. And our hope is that today, some of you who've been promised a lunch, who've been, you know, your arm has been twisted, and you're here today not because you want to. You're here today because you have to be here today. You know, somebody invited you. We're hoping that something will radically change in you because the power of the resurrection is available for you today. See, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that if there is no resurrection, catch this, if there is no resurrection, then Christianity makes absolutely no sense. If there is no resurrection, Paul says, you ought to pack up everything that you have, you ought to go get your kids and go get in your car and never come back. If there is no resurrection, if there is no Easter, then we should abandon all things Christian. But if it's true, if the resurrection is true, then there are two things that you need to know. First is that the resurrection of Jesus gives the power for you to have a new life in your life. Something new can take place in your life today. Do you realize that the last 6 months does not have to be the same as the next 6 months? Do you realize that last week does not have to be what next week is like? Do you realize the last year for you, I don't know how long, the last year does not have to be the same as the next year for you? That on Easter, the reason why we celebrate it and we want everybody to come because we want to hear the greatest story ever told, that the cross is empty, but also the tomb is empty, and Jesus, based on the power that he had to walk away from both, that he has that same power available to you and to me today. So if it's true, the resurrection of Jesus gives you that power to do something in your life today. Secondly, if the resurrection is true, then everything Jesus said is also true. Would you agree with that? I mean, if he walked away from the grave, then everything that he said is true. Jesus told a story, and I want to look at that story with you because that story will relate to a question that I want to end with here today, because every single Easter poses a question to you and to me based on the empty tomb and the empty cross. Because Jesus came down off the cross and was in a tomb, and because the tomb is empty, it poses a question to every single one of us. And Jesus tells a story about that because Jesus knew he was going to die. Jesus knew that he was going to be put into a tomb. Jesus knew that he was going to walk away from a tomb, and he tells a story. And in the story, he mentions four things, if you will, four chairs that we might sit in our lives. I gave you a program, or somebody gave you a program on the way in. This is going to be your guide today. So would you take this and just open it up? If you bought a Bible with you and you don't have one of these programs, you could follow along if you want. It's Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 is where Jesus tells this story. And in this program, this will guide you, because Easter is a day of decision. It's not just an event that we celebrate. In fact, if you came here today and all you wanted to do is celebrate an event, you're going to miss really the point of the whole thing. We're celebrating Easter because Easter gives us the opportunity to make an Easter decision. And that's the right side of this program that we've given you here today. But the left side is a story that Jesus tells. Let me read it for you, and then let's see if we can understand it. He went back to teaching by the sea. That's Jesus. A crowd built up to such a great size that he had to get into an offshore boat, using the boat as a pulpit as the people pushed to the water's edge. He taught them by using stories, many stories. So he says to the crowd, Jesus is standing there, he's in a boat, and the crowd is gathered around on the shore. He says, listen, what do you make of this? In other words, see if you can understand this. See if you get this. Because if you get this, this will describe who you are. So then he tells a story. Here's the story. A farmer planted seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell on the road, and the birds ate it. Some fell in the gravel. It sprouted quickly, but it didn't put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell in the weeds. As it came up, it was strangled among the weeds, and nothing came of it. Some fell on good earth and came up with a flourish, producing a harvest exceeding his wildest dreams. And then Jesus asked, are you listening to this? Are you really listening to this? Because as Jesus is telling us this story, here's what he's saying, talking about four different kinds of places that seeds fall. He's saying this, make sure you catch this. He's saying that in your spiritual journey, you're gonna find yourself in one of four places. Chances are every single person here in Northmont and those of you that are in the overflow there, we find ourselves today as we're celebrating this Easter in one of four places. I'm calling them chairs. So today, Jesus is saying through this story that you find yourself in one of four chairs. So the question is, which chair are you sitting in? And based on that chair, you can make an Easter decision in your life because of the power of the resurrection. So we see in verses 10 and 12, a couple of the people got together, the crowd dissipated a little bit, and a few people were really interested because they didn't understand the story. I mean, this farmer takes seed and he throws it, some of it lands on the road and the birds eat it right away. Some of it lands in the gravel, it gets a few roots, but it begins to grow and then the sun comes out and it just scorches it and it withers. And then the third one is, it throws it into the weeds, it begins to grow, but the weeds kind of choke it out. And so it's just smothering there in the weeds. And then the fourth one lands in great soil and begins to grow and grow and grow and a lot of great things, and they didn't understand what it meant. And so verses 10 to 12 there, you can see here, they ask Jesus, what does this mean? Look at verse 13. Jesus says this, do you see how this story works? All my stories work this way. I don't know if you knew or not, but this story here, Jesus is saying, is the most important story that I'm going to tell you. If you get this, you're going to get everything I tell you. Don't miss this story. This story is really, really critical to your understanding about your life and about Easter. Because if Easter has the power to change you today, then you better know what chair you're sitting in, right? You better know where you're at. And Jesus says you're probably sitting in one of four chairs. So let's see if we can understand it, because he actually explains this metaphor, this story that he's telling us. Here's the first one. Look at verse 14. He says, the farmer plants the word, which is truth. So Jesus is planting the truth in their life. Some people are like the seed that falls on the hardened soil of the road. No sooner do they hear the word, then Satan, so it's not really the birds, it's just an allegory, Satan snatches away what has been planted in them. And we get a clue of the first chair. Here's what I think Jesus is saying. Some of us find ourselves in this chair. I'm exploring God, but I got a lot of questions. See, I'm on this side of the cross. I haven't made the decision yet. I'm exploring God, but I got a lot of questions. And that may be where you're at today as you've come into Easter, whether you've come because you want to celebrate Easter, maybe because you're trying to find out some answers to questions, or maybe again, like somebody invited you or somebody twisted your arm. I was talking to a guy not too long ago. He said he came to church for months and months because his wife forced him to come. I said, she forced you? And he said, yeah. And I go, wow, how was that? He said, not so good. And I said, so what it was like? What was it like? He said, yeah, I came in and I sat there and I heard it all. And he said, I understood a little bit of it. I had some questions. He said, but here's what's interesting. By the time I got to the parking lot, I had forgotten it. By the time I started the next day, I didn't even think about it any longer. Sounds a lot like seed that falls on a road. The birds snatch right like that, right? See, today could be a day where your future could change. Because some of you here today at Northmont Overflow, right here in the room, some of you are sitting in the chair where you're saying, you know, I'm exploring God, but I've got a lot of questions, a lot of questions. Can I give you some great news? I've got some questions. I've got some questions that aren't even answered yet. I think there's some questions that we'll never have the answers to until Jesus comes back. But I would say to you, if you know that Jesus died on a cross, and if you know that he was placed in a tomb, and if you believe that he rose from the dead because of what is wrong in your life to establish a relationship with God, with you, with God, that's all you need to know. There are a lot of questions, I know, but that's all you need to know. And if you leave here today, by the time you pack up whoever it is that you came with and you get to the parking lot, see, the enemy wants to snatch it away, and you'll have more questions, and you'll begin your day, whatever your day looks like, and you'll even have more questions, and you'll just give up on the whole idea. And then you'll wait till next Easter or the following Easter. I would say to you, if you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, that's all you need to know. You may have a lot of questions, but we're so glad that you're here exploring God. A while ago, my family sat down, and we love to play board games. Any other families like to play board games? We play board games together, and so we were sitting down, and my son had bought this brand new game. He's 15 years old, and he bought this game called the 5-Second Rule. Now, when I grew up, the 5-Second Rule was if something fell off the table, help me out, are you right? You got 5 seconds to pick it up, right? I remember when, you know, my kids were little, and the pacifier would fall out, we would count, like 1, 2, 3, okay, so good, just put it back in, no problem, you know? That was the 5-second rule. He bought this game called the 5-second rule, and here's what happens. You're supposed to have a category, and then you have 5 seconds to actually name 3 things, you know, in that category. So let's try it just a little bit. I mean, just turn to the people around you, just try it. I'll give you the category, and I'll give you 5 seconds to do it, okay? Famous people with mustaches. Go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You failed. How many of you, Northmont, Overflow, how many of you got at least 3? Yeah, about 4 of you, okay. So he introduced this game to us, you know, the 5-second rule, and I said to him, I said, well, Brent, I said, I don't know the rules. I mean, how do you win? How does this game go on? And he said something to me I don't think I'll ever forget. He said, Dad, the best way to do this, if you want to play the game, let's just start playing the game, and you'll figure out the rules, and the questions will be answered along the way. That's from a 15-year-old. Pretty brilliant, don't you think? I would say to you today, if you're here and you find yourself in this chair, I'm exploring God, but I got a lot of questions. What I would say to you is, if you believe Jesus died and he was raised from the grave, you've got all you need to know. Get into the game, and some of the questions will be answered along the way. Because Jesus says that some of us find ourselves in this chair on this side of the cross. But he goes on. Look at verse 16. He said, and some are like the seed that lands in the gravel. When they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm. They're excited. They've made a decision in their life. They're on that side of the cross. They've made the decision, but there is such shallow soil of character that when emotions wear off or some difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it. So Jesus is introducing the second kind of chair that some of us might be sitting in, and that chair is this. You might be sitting in the chair that says, life is really hard. And I don't think God cares. You can remember the day when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. You remember going on this side of the cross, and yet somehow, as life goes on, it gets hard, right? Things happen. They call it downsizing. Here's what that means. You lost your job. You went to the doctor's office and you heard that news, or you've got a son or a daughter that's not behaving the way you want, or illness has come into your home through one of your children, or maybe a niece or a nephew, or maybe you're single and all of a sudden some friends of yours, the relationships, the bus has just gone sideways on that, and life becomes hard for you, and all of a sudden you begin to slide away, you begin to drift away. God doesn't become that important to you because life is just really hard, and eventually you just stop coming, you just stop being a part of things, you just stop thinking about who God is because life is so hard, and then all of a sudden you begin thinking, he doesn't even care about me. And the great thing about Easter is that we get to come and we get to remind ourselves that God cared so much that there's a cross. He cared so much that there's an empty tomb. And the Easter decision that you can make today is to say, though life is hard, by the power of the resurrection, I choose. See, it's on the right-hand side. You can follow along. I choose to trust you, God. I choose to trust you, and I'm asking that you would empower me in my life. That's chair number 2. The story goes on. Look at verse 16. And some verse 18 rather. The seed cast in the weeds represents the ones who hear the kingdom news but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things that they have to do and all the things that they want to get. The stress strangles what they've heard. Is that possible? Strangles what they've heard and nothing comes of it. I think Jesus is introducing a third chair, because usually we find ourselves in one of these four chairs. Here's the third chair. The third chair says, my worries are stronger than my joy. All of a sudden you go through life and the stresses begin to strangle out joy. And if you're on this side of the cross, you know that your life ought to be filled with joy and at least some level of peace, because you got freedom. I mean, freedom is amazing, isn't it? You're free from your sin. You're free to an eternity that is a free gift that God has given to you. And yet the worries of life have come in and actually just strangled out the joy. And so you begin to go through the motions. And you're just going through the motions day after day. And all of a sudden you realize, man, where's the joy that I had? Because you can remember back to that day when you stepped across to this side of the cross and you thought, you know, man, I remember that day. And all of a sudden I have no joy. Here's your Easter decision. By the power of the resurrection, you can choose joy and you can let God bring peace right into your lives. See, God can give us peace that passes all understanding. And the power of the resurrection is the power that actually can do that for you, so that your joy can be stronger than your worries. But Jesus says, as he's telling the story, that some of us find ourselves in the chair where our worries are stronger than our joy. And then he ends in verse 20. Here's what he says. But the seed planted in the good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. And Jesus is talking about the fourth chair, I believe. And the fourth chair is this, that God is really real for me. He's really real, and I want to go closer to him. This Easter, you might have come here today, and God could not have been more real to you in the last year, the last 6 months. God is doing amazing things, and the Easter decision that you can make is simply to say, I want to affirm that. I want to continue to grow. I want to continue to follow after him. I want to continue to do the things that I know will help me in my life to become the person that I know he wants me to become. That's the power of the resurrection. Four chairs. So Jesus is essentially asking us one question related to all four of these chairs, and that's this: where are you in your spiritual journey? That's the question that Easter asks. When we celebrate the cross and we celebrate the empty tomb, that's the question that has to be asked. Where are you in your spiritual journey? If you're on this side of the cross and you're exploring God, though you have lots of questions, today could be a day where you invite him into your life and your life could change forever. He could turn you inside out. If you're on that side of the cross, there are three chairs possible for you, and the power of the resurrection can change your life, and you could have a great new beginning in an area of your life, because that's what the resurrection does. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to take this guide, this program we gave you, and on the very far right-hand side, just bend it back and forth, and there's a perforation there. Would you just tear it off? That way it's not uncomfortable for any one of us here, Northmont, and those of you that are in the overflow, just go ahead and do that now. Just bend it and tear it off so that all of us can tear it together, and it's not uncomfortable for anybody, because I'm going to challenge you to make an Easter decision. I'm going to challenge you to ask yourself, which one of these four chairs am I sitting in? And I'm going to ask you to take this card and to tell somebody about it. Because usually when you tell somebody about a decision that you make, that decision sticks in your life. And we don't want to leave here today. We certainly don't want anybody leaving here today going out in the parking lot only for the enemy to snatch away something out of your life so that tomorrow this just becomes another day that you just had in your life. Your life could be different today. I'm going to invite you just to bow your heads for just a minute. With nobody moving in the room, you get to make an Easter decision. And I want to start with the chair on this side of the cross. If you're exploring God and you've heard all you need to hear, though you have lots of questions, I'm going to invite you to ask him to come into your life today. We've actually given you a prayer that you can quietly pray on the back of this program. But if you're here today and you want to pray a simple prayer that goes something like this: Jesus, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that by the power of God, you can come into my life and change me. Thank you that you love me. I invite you into my life. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to invite you, if you want to, or if you've made that decision for the first time in your life, we're not going to make you do anything weird or strange. I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand as high as you can. Not so that anybody here can see it, but that we can just, I can just recognize you publicly. Just raise your hand up. Wherever you're at, just all over the room, just raise your hand. Thank you, ma'am. Wherever you're at. Balcony, mezzanine. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Today is a day where your eternity is different. Anyone else want to make this decision in your life today? Thank you, ma'am. All the way in the back. Thank you. I see it. Just another minute. Thank you, sir. Now for the rest of us. See, on this side of the cross, you might be dealing with life that's really hard. And with no judgment at all, you might have been drifting away. And you just want to say, you know what, God, I need to trust you. I want to come back and I trust you. Or worries have overtaken and your joy is gone and you want to just make that decision today. Or God is so real and you just want to reaffirm. If you're willing to make any one of those three decisions, would you just slip up your hand all over the room? Just all of you. Just slip them up right now. Just all over the room. Thank you. Many hands going up all over the place. Mezzanine, balcony. Many hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is what Easter is all about. The power of God in a human heart and the change that can bring. God, thank you that you loved us so much that you gave up your son to do something that we cannot do on our own, to do something that is so powerful in our lives that you can restore a broken relationship and that you can give us the free gift of eternal life, that today many people's lives, their eternity is different. And we thank you, Father. For those that have made the decision in Northmont and in the overflow room, I just thank you, Lord, for their lives and for the decisions that they have made. And we ask that this Easter, that we would know the power of the resurrection personally and intimately in our own lives. We thank you in Jesus' name.